I would say that not a week goes by that there isn't a knock on our bedroom door at some point in the middle of the night. It's for you. Yeah, we're elbowing. we've done that. Yep. So, you know, it's the battle there, you know, what do we do, husband and wife, and okay, who is it? And then they, you know, the door opens, and there's one of our children. And they're having a nightmare. They're afraid. And you ask the question, well, what in the world causes these things, and why do they plague our children so? And you could go on and on about all of that, and what goes into their minds throughout the day, but nevertheless, it does happen, and our children do have bad dreams and fears at night. Now, what's interesting is when they have these times of fear, they come to mommy and daddy's room. They don't go downstairs and sit on the couch. They don't go downstairs and sit at the table where they, you know, always get food and to eat. They don't go outside and enjoy the beauty of the night sky. But they come to mommy and daddy's room. And if they're allowed, they get as close to mommy and daddy as possible. Or they'll take the next best thing and that they get mommy and daddy out of bed and mommy and daddy comes and tucks them back in and or puts them in a different bed or whatever the case might be. Why is that? They're fearful. They're afraid. Why would they come to mommy and daddy? Any ideas? Thoughts? Children? Anybody? What do you think, Ian? Yep, that's true. Sometimes it does. Sometimes your blanket does get wet. So mommy and daddy have to take care of that one. Any ideas why when they're fearful, they come to mommy and daddy? They know that they'll be taken care of? Yeah? Chloe? You know your mommy and daddy will take care of it? And you know that they'll help you? And they'll tuck you back in bed. Okay, I couldn't quite hear everything. And you'll feel better. Yes. Yes. You know, what's interesting about a relationship between parent and children is that the parent is the one that's trusted. The parent is the strong one. The parent is the one that is the protector. And the children absolutely rely on the parents for that role and for that position that they hold. Now, let's expand this into our lives, all of us, as you know, here we are sitting adults and children in this service, but let's expand this idea of fear. When you have a fear, in fact, let's ask this question. What are some of our greatest fears? This was an interesting question I asked myself as I was studying. What are some of my greatest fears? I'll share some of mine if you share some of yours. As I was thinking about this, some of my greatest fears, I thought about one is to be publicly stumped or simply speechless. One of my greatest fears. To come up here and just not know what to say. Because I'm up front all the time, you know, just that's a fear I do battle with, but I could talk more about that, but I won't. Don't want to get off. Another one, someone breaking into our home and hurting my family. I have a fear about that. And when I share these fears with you, I don't have to go call a psychotherapist to come and help me out. I'm not like paralyzed by these things, but it's just a fear that I have and that sometimes I've I've thought about. Being jumped in the dark. I many times will walk from my office to the house, and it's pitch black out here. And I have a niece that loves to scare me, and she's many times out walking the dog, and I'm so thankful that dog has a collar on and has a little thing that rings. But you know, sometimes your imagination runs wild, and you think somebody's waiting outside the church door for you. You know, and it just runs wild. Forgetting an important appointment. A fear. How about you? I just gave four of them, so I expect at least four out of you guys. Come on, let's be a little vulnerable. Yes, Julia. Right. Good. Well, that's not good. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. Somebody else? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Darkness. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Did I see? No. Ah, yes. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Anybody else? Oh, man. So fear, fear is a part of our lives, isn't it? I mean, it happens. We experience fear. And there's a question that we all ask is, what do we do about it? What do we do about this fear? Do we just be content in our fear? Are we to just live in it and deal with it? Or is there some things that the Word of God has to say about it? Some things that we can apply so that we can grow in our boldness, in our courage. Let me just put it this way. When we are fearful, we are distracted from what God really is trying to do in our lives. To be fearful is truly a distraction. It's very similar to worry. It is a form or a outpouring of worry. As the anxiety and the worry overwhelms you, the fear, you see it in a person in their response. Turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13 tonight. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, the book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews, to Jews. They are believers. And it is written to proclaim Jesus Christ as better than all of the other trappings of Judaism. Jesus is better. We come to the end of this book in chapter 13, and we have a lot of application. Application for these Hebrew believers. Looking at verse 1, Hebrews 13, 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But warmongers and adulterers God will judge. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, I just want to stop there. I wanted to give you a little bit of context for verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. What I'd like to do tonight, just kind of break these verses down a little bit for us, and we're going to look at a couple other passages throughout the scriptures in regards to this idea or understanding of fear. Again, this passage is about is an application passage for these believers. And you can see all of the different topics that the writer is highlighting here. It comes down to verse 5, and he says, let your conduct or your manner of life be without a love for money. Covetousness is just literally a loving of money. And he's challenging the believers here, your manner of life should not be characterized by love for money. All right. And then he says, be content with such things as you have. An easy way to say that is be satisfied. Just be satisfied with the things that are yours, that you already have. And then he says this, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Who says that? Jesus, God. That was something that God said all the way back as far as Deuteronomy. Listen to what Deuteronomy chapter 31 says, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Wow. What a declaration. I mean, you can imagine being the people of Israel and hearing this declaration of God and his faithfulness. Do not fear. In Hebrews, the writer, taking from these passages in the Old Testament, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What's interesting here in this statement is what I believe we see something, a twofold promise here. That God will never separate us from himself. In other words, he will never push us away from himself. This idea of, I will never leave thee. If you look into the original languages, it's a very interesting concept. I will never leave thee. I will never push you away from me. I will never separate you from me, nor forsake you. In other words, nor will I separate myself from you. So notice who's in control here. God's in control. And he will not allow you to be separated from him, and nor will he separate himself from you. What a promise that is. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Joshua had heard this promise. He wrote about it in his book, chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And so the writer here in Hebrews, in this midst of this very practical application, he is driving home a point of God is faithful. All right. So, verse 6, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So as a result of the promises of God and his faithfulness, I will never leave you nor forsake you, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We'll talk more about each aspect of that statement, but I want us to look at the concept of the Lord is my helper. We're talking about the Lord now. And the Lord helps us. He is our helper. He is the one that comes and he binds us together. He holds us together. I found this word very interesting because the root of this word helper is used in Acts chapter 27, where Paul is about to be shipwrecked. And they're in the storm in the Mediterranean. And the waves are tossing the boat back and forth so that it begins to come apart. And what they do is they take ropes and they took cables and they put them around the boat. And they tied them together so that the boat would not come apart. And those ropes were called helps. They bound together and held together the ship. And so, we see that the Lord is the one who comes and aids us in our strength and accomplishments. He is our strength. He helps to hold us together. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. The Greek word for fear, phobeo. Sound familiar? Phobeo, phobia, fear. In this context, it is used in a bad sense, in a negative sense, because I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, why do you think the author, the writer, or we'll say God, who inspired the writer here, specifies, I will not fear what man shall do unto me? An interesting concept. Well, in order to help us understand this, we ought to go back and look at Psalm chapter 118. Because I believe the author here is quoting from this Psalm 118. I said 118, not 119. 118. And look at verse 6. 118. Verse 6 is the verse we'll look at, but let me pick it up in verse 4. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. Verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You know, the Word of God is so profound, isn't it? Hebrews, it says, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. As we consider our fears, as we consider the the things that go on in our lives that cause us to be fearful. We have a promise from God that we do not need to fear what mankind can do unto us. Well, what does that take care of? Well, that takes care of me getting jumped in the dark. It takes care of forgetting an important appointment, that fear. It takes care of the fear of someone breaking in and hurting my family. It takes care of being publicly stumped or simply speechless, because really that's just a fear of man, a fear of what people are going to think of me if I don't have an answer. You know, when the Bible says something, we have a choice. We have a choice whether to believe it to be true, to trust it, or we have the choice to say, oh, that sounds good, but I don't know if it's really going to work in my life. When we think of fear, fear is something that God is very well aware that we experience. When Jesus was on earth, he was speaking in Matthew chapter 10, and he says these words, Matthew 10:26 and following, "Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid, that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light, and what you hear in the ear," and just so you know, he's speaking to his disciples here as he's getting ready to send them out. And he's telling them, don't be afraid. And then he says, "What I tell you in darkness, that you speak in light, and what you hear in the ear, preach upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body." Fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. What is Jesus saying here? Well, he says that you're not to fear them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Well, what does that mean? Man. Or beast. What can a man do to you, really? What is the worst a man can do to you? End your life. Stop you from breathing. Shed blood. That's the worst thing a man can do to you. And Jesus here speaking to his disciples as he's sending them out, he's saying, do not fear man. But you are to fear who? You are to fear God. He says here, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. And so what we see here is Jesus recognizing the fact and trying to and seeking to help his disciples understand that you can go out with courage. And you do not need to fear man. But you do need to fear God. And when we have a fear of something, a healthy fear, it causes us to be respectful. It causes us to act in such a way that we are honoring to that which we are fearful, of which we are fearful. There's many times in the scriptures where we are told to fear the Lord. Proverbs tells us that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The theme verse of the book of Proverbs, I believe. So, as we think about this idea of fear, as we think of the greatest fears that we have in our lives, how do we combat them? How do we combat the anxiety? How do we combat the fearful times in the darkness at night? What it comes down to, and it sounds very simple, but yet it requires much of us, we are to apply this truth of trust. We are to believe that what God says is true. Engage your fears in a battle with the truth. Going out in the dark, engage the fear of the darkness with the battle of what is true. What is true? Well, the truth is that the darkness really has no power over you. The Bible tells us that we do not need to fear what man can do unto us. The Bible tells us that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. John chapter 14, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You've got the Holy Spirit with you. Jesus, when he issued his command at the end of his life, he told them to go and make disciples, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I am what? With you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world. Listen to some of these other passages that I've found to be very encouraging. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Engage your fears in a battle with the truth. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Even though I'm walking out in the dark, the Lord, he's my light. Psalm 56, 3 and 4. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And then later in that chapter, verse 11. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Now, I want to make one other mention here as we close up this time of talking about fear. Fear is a reality, and we do experience it. Do you know when fear first showed up? Fear first came into the world the very moment that sin came into the world. In fact, it's very interesting if you look back in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve, they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then God finds them in fear. Adam's response, I was afraid. What does fear cause us to do? It causes us to want to hide. Or wants us to retreat to some sort of protection. Let me ask you this, or share this statement with you. If you have a dread or a terrible fear of God, then there is a problem within you. That fear, if you have a dread or a terrible kind of fear, not a reverential or a respectful kind of fear, but if you are just so afraid of God that you want to hide from him, that you want to run the other direction, that you want to crawl under and cover yourself and not even want to talk to him, if you have that kind of dread fear of God, then that's a cue there's a problem. Not with God, but you. There's a problem within you, or within me. The problem is you're afraid of what God might find. That's what we learn from Adam and Eve. They had a dread fear of God. They were afraid of what God might find. They were afraid of what God would think. Why? Because they had something they were trying to hide. And so as we consider this idea of fear, there are two aspects. There's a reverential kind of fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is the kind of fear that you want to have of God, a respect of God, an awe of God. The thing that drives you to obey Him because you respect Him. But there's another kind of fear, and that is a dread fear, a terrible kind of fear. And if you have that kind of fear of God, then it is a cue that you need to examine your heart and see if there be any wicked way within you. And we have fears in this life of people, of things all around us. And may you apply the truth that we've learned tonight and engage those fears in a battle with the truth. And trust the truth, because the truth, what Jesus say? It will set you free. It will always win. Believe the truth, dear ones. In a very real sense, we as believers can walk through this world without fear. Do you believe that? That's a powerful concept. And maybe you won't believe it thoroughly tonight. But allow it to settle down into the crevices of your mind and think on it. God has given us His Word and He has given us His promises. Why? Because they're true. And they're real. And He's given them to us now so that we can live now and with a confidence and a boldness that speaks of the glory of our God. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Lord, I thank you for our time tonight and pray that you would encourage each of our hearts. Fear is a part of our lives, Lord. We are admitting that tonight. We are admitting that we deal with this. And I pray that you would pick us up from this paralyzed state of fearfulness as we apply this truth, as we trust your promises and engage these fears in a battle, an all-out war with the truth of your word. Oh God, I pray that you would release and set your people free from some of the bondages that they are in slavery to fear. I pray that this week would be a week where we are able to walk in boldness and confidence. In Jesus' name, amen.